So those are the fun time. And living in this world, there's time for everything. You know, like the King Solomon, he's basically talking in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes that there's time for everything. Time for us to be born, time for us to laugh, time for us to have a good time, but also time for us to mourn, to be sad, or time to die. So there's time for everything. So life is fragile, basically. And what I'm going to be sharing with you today is that entitled Expect the Unexpected, because we have no idea what's going to happen next. Like when I was with Tom, all of a sudden he became a celebrity. He didn't even know that in Cambodia. And then for me, all I know that I'm a servant of God. I'm just going anywhere I go, I just share the gospel. And the gospel is my primary life concern. It's all about the gospel. Because the gospel saved my life. Because the gospel saved my life, therefore I want to share that gospel so other people can be saved as well. That's all I want to do in Cambodia, in my home country. And because by the grace of God, he spared my life from the killing field in the 70s. Being a little young teenager, just like to have fun, but then the killing field took place, and the killing phenomenon, 3.5 million people kill in 4 years. So, and many of my family member killed, and my wife and her family, many of them got killed, including her parent and all of that. So, thing is not the way we want it. So, we have to be prepared. That's why I love Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." I love that scripture, but I also struggle with this scripture. A lot of time I ask myself, the Bible tell me, which is the word of God, said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. My question to myself is this, do I really trust God with all of my heart? Do I really give him a full 100% trust? Put everything in my life in by trusting in him, that everything going to be all right. But let me admit to you this morning is that a lot of time I say, Lord, let's split half and half. How about you do 50%? I can trust you 50%. Leave me alone with the other 50%. I think I'm smart enough. I'm growing up, you know. Pastor Steve said he's going to turn 70, and I'm turning 60. So I think I live long enough, I'm smart enough, so just give me, let's split half and half. A lot of time I will do that to the Lord. I don't know about you, maybe you 100%, but me, a lot of time I like to share half and half. So I say Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5, I like it, but let's split. Because you work so hard, there are other people out there in other part of the world need you more than me. I can handle myself. That's what I like to think, and a lot of time I said that to God, even. But hear what God said, and lean not on your own understanding. So my 50% doesn't work based on the scripture. So when the Lord said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and not lean on your own understanding, that means my other 50%, I think I'm smart enough, I live long enough, it's not working. It's not even there. So life is fragile. So we have to expect the unexpected. And when the unexpected come, it's not like the football player at the end, you know, like you have less than 1 minute. And you, what they call, if I say it wrong, please forgive me. It's a Hail Mary. You throw it, and hoping that somebody's going to catch it on your team. So life is not all that. Even the football is not all that. A lot of time, the Hail Mary was not there. The other team got the ball. So you lose. And in my situation 2 years ago, I led the team from Canada. college team, Bible school student, 11 students came to Cambodia to do their internship. So they planned to spend about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks in Cambodia as part of their school program. And I had privilege to go there in the province called, now I forgot the name of the province in Canada. Anyway, in the middle of nowhere, there's a Bible school there. So I go there every year to give as a guest lecture to that school. And so they make an agreement with us that every year we will take some of their students to Cambodia as part of their internship. So this time, 2 years ago, I have 11 students, and it happened to be all girls for some reason. Most of the time, more boy than girl, but this time, not even one boy in the team. So all girl. And the president of the school called me and said, "Sitan, you need to go with my girl. I will not let a girl go to Cambodia without you being there." Typically in May, the month of May, I don't like to be in Cambodia. And one of the major reasons is too hot. May is super, super hot weather-wise, so I'm a little selfish on that. And a second reason is that I got a lot of speaking engagement in this part of the world, so in May. So, but that 2 years ago, I had to force myself to change the schedule so that I can fit the schedule of the student, all 11 girls coming to Cambodia. So we have an itinerary, and the girl like it, and the school like it, and my staff like it. We all like it. We all approve that this is going to work. So, and then first day they arrive, I like to be on time. I'm probably one of the very few Cambodians that be on time. Because if Cambodia invite you to show up at 7, you expect to be 8 or 8:30. So an hour and a half later, and their excuse is at Cambodian time. All right? So I'm one of the very few Cambodians that show up on time. And so I show up at the airport, pick up the girl, doing the routine, you know. Everything is on schedule and itinerary. I follow it. And so they see the genocidal museum, they see the killing fields, they visit our Joy daycare, taking girl and boy out of the disposable dump to take care of them from Monday to Friday. So all of those routine, and then it's time for us to leave the capital city. And the student from Canada, all excited. They're very excited because we're going to go to a place called New Development Center, which is girl that we saved from prostitution and girl that we got out from domestic abuse. So this student, who are all girl, really looking forward to minister to those girl who have some difficult in life in a very early age. They were so looking forward. They were singing in the car. They were cheering and everything, praising the Lord and all of that. And we arrive, and we got there a little sooner than we expected. We beat the traffic in the capital, and we got to town, and you know everything was going fast, and the hotel was not ready for them to check in. We went there too early, so we woke up pretty early. So anyway, so the hotel management told us that you need to go to your center first, and we had to clean up the room, and some of our guests is not checking out yet, blah, blah, blah. And so the girl would say, "Wow, we like that, let's go." And we went to the center, they met some of the girls who not in school, and they embraced each other, and no language barrier was no longer there. You know, they just hug each other and love each other and minister to the girl in our center. And then time for lunch, and before that, they somehow come to an agreement that they want to cook and eat together. So it's all beautiful, everything beautiful. And then we ate together, the girl and both girl at the center and the girl from Canada. Language is no longer a problem. And then when we finished eating, and the hotel management, just right on time, they call and say the room is ready. So I got all the girl in the bus, and then I told the girl, I said, "You know, you have 2 hours to rest because the temperature is getting hotter and hotter, and we all sweat." And the girl bargained with me and said, "No, Pastor, I don't want to rest. We don't want to rest. Why don't we just throw all our luggage in or our backpack in and get back in the bus and come back to the center? We like to spend more time with the girl," so on and so on. I told them, I say, "It's super hot here now. Why don't you rest for 2 hours? So now it's noon, so by 2 o'clock we'll pick you up. Enjoy your air conditioning." The girl say, No. "Why don't you just wait for us here? We just come up, check in, and then come back down." Guess what? When they come up to their room, air conditioning was on. They all come on the balcony and screaming at me, "Pastor, we change our mind." I say, what's going on?" "Oh, we love our air conditioning." "Can you pick us up at 2 o'clock? I say, fine. So 2 o'clock, I say, "We'll be here." So I say, "Bye." I say, "Rest and enjoy your air conditioning. I don't have one, so I'm going to go back to the center." On the way to the center, I got a phone call from one of our pastors, a former police chief. And he said, "You know, I just got a call from the court, the local court, saying that somebody falsely accusing you that you have stole their land." And I said, "I stole somebody's land?" Anyway, it was a land that we bought for the university, for Christian University, and we have it for a long time. And God just didn't open the door for us to have enough resources to build. So we have the land, but somebody, a land grab in Cambodia is pretty big, so somebody's, you know, team up and folly accusing us that we stole the land. So they said the court want me to show up for a couple of minutes just to give a fingerprint and as a witness. So I say, "Is that true? It's just a couple of minutes?" They say, "Just a couple of minutes to give you, to give them a fingerprint as a witness. They know you own the land. They know Transformation own the land. They know that you have all the legal paper, but somebody just want to steal the land from you. So the court just want you there. So they will protect you." So I believed them. So I went to the court, and as soon as I show up at the court, two police officers come from behind, say, "You under arrest." So they put me on handcuff and throw me in jail. And so this is something that's not in my itinerary. I didn't put in there. It was not in there. So they throw me in jail. They shave my head. I'm going to go fast. As you can go to the next slide. See, this is the prison I was in. So they throw me in. They shave my head. And then one of the police officers, while they're shaving my head and rip off my clothes, he told me, he said, "I'm going to throw you in that prison cell, and that's dark." And he pointed to that prison cell. It looked very ugly. And he said, "There are 5 guys with tattoos. They're going to pull a trigger on you. They have a piece of paper ready for you to fingerprint and give autograph to give your land away to them, to the authority. If you do that, you'll be released out of this prison, or you'll be fine. But if you don't do that, those 5 guys are going to, I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to hurt you very bad, and they may even kill you. I'm not responsible. So it's up to you." So when you're in that kind of condition, something that you don't expect, so I kind of, beyond my belief, so I start laughing. And it was not laughing because I'm happy, but because it's beyond my belief. So then they finish shaving my head and throw me in, and I look to the right-hand side. There's a 5 guy. You go to the next slide, you see it. You have 5 guys right there, tattoo. This is the actual guy. I took the picture. I came back later after I was released. Those are the guy who was assigned to pull a trigger on me. And then I looked to the left. There were like hundreds of animals out there. But actually, other inmates were sleeping like animals. Many of them have no clothes on. And it was filthy. And I just said, okay, this is where I belong. And so somehow, I'm totally lost. When I was totally lost, fear started coming into my life. And I'm not going to hiding anything. Fear started coming into my life. The moment that fear is coming into my life, the Word of God speaking to me. And that word of God it was quoting, actually I heard it for the first time, God quote his own word from scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. It said, the Lord is a spirit. Where the spirit of the Lord is, their freedom. And the moment I heard that voice, and the moment I heard that scripture verse, I was like boosting up, like I'm drinking an energy drink. So I was having all kind of energy, all kind of courage, and it reminded me of John 1:1, is that in the beginning was the Word. There's nothing before that. There's absolutely nothing before the Word. So the Word of God come to me, I'm okay. I know physically I was locked up, but spiritually I'm a free man. So why not exercising my free as a free man in God? So I start reaching my right hand to shake hand with those five tattoo guys one at a time. And the moment I start doing that, a guy was shaking like crazy. All five of them was shaking and they hold my hand was like this and tear coming from their eye. So instead of pull a trigger on me, but those guys become like that, shaking just like crazy. And I start asking questions. I say, brother, why are you crying? And the first guy, the biggest guy in the middle, said, because I feel sorry for you. And another guy said the same thing. All five guys, tattoo guy, respond that the reason they were shaking and crying because they feel sorry for me. So then I ask them one at a time, I say, may I ask, how long have you been here? The first guy said, it was 37 years I've been here. Second guy said, it's about 17 years, and the third guy, so on and so on. It's all more than 10 years been there. And then I respond back to them, I say, I should be the one who feels sorry for you, because I only been here 1 minute ago. So that was a story. So when the word of God was coming, when you don't have anything at all, for me, I was completely empty. I was completely helpless. But when the word of God was coming, everything doesn't matter. So here I'm going to go very fast. I'm learning how to use all this new technology. See, when life is broken, what do? Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So when life is broken, what do you look to? You look to God's word. God's word is a light to your lamp. And it's a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. So when life is tough, you look to the Word of God. It's nothing else. The Word of God for direction. And then what do? When you got the Word of God for direction, and then you must put total trust in Him, not split half and half. You have to put total trust in Him. That's when the life is broken. In my case, when my life is broken, in that situation, in that prison, I looked to God, and the Word of God came to me. It was my rescue. And then, when you are in the dark, the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but have the light of life. So when you are in the dark, God's light is your solution to everything. I was totally in the dark in prison. But then God's light came to me and it was my solution. I do not want to look for anything out because I already have the Word of God. And it's very powerful. So God was giving me an opportunity when I was in that kind of situation. Even the thing that I didn't expect, God is giving me an amazing opportunity to preach the gospel to my fellow inmate. And He created in such a way where it make my life easier. I don't have to preach from Genesis to Revelation. So God knows my people believe in angels. Most of them come from a Buddhist background. And the Buddhists don't really believe in God. Buddhists believe in angels. I was born and raised in the Buddhist religion. Although the Buddhist people may tell you that we believe in God, but they really don't. They never call on God. They always call on angels. I don't have time to go through all of that. But anyway, so after a while, after I was in prison, and you know, I have hair all over, so the five tattoo guys say, you need to clean up yourself. I don't want to see you naked with hair all over your body. I say, I don't like that either. But anyway, so they said, you need to go to the bathroom and clean yourself. I say, is there a bathroom? I didn't even know. They say, yes, there's one. I say, how can I go? Because people all over the floor. I can't even walk there. So five guys stepped down from their comfortable spot and cleared my way. So I got into the bathroom. There were eight people was doing business there. So they cleared them out so that I can bathe myself. After I bathed, they loaned me the pan, and they even gave me shampoo. So I cleaned myself pretty good, came back, and I got to rest on their comfortable spot from 4 o'clock in the afternoon until 9 p.m. at night. And then those five guys start crying all over again, and I have no clue why they were crying, because they say they can't keep me in that comfortable spot with them. They want to, but they can't. The authority will not allow, so therefore I have to go down to the floor and sleep with the rest like animal. I say, that's fine. I can do it. If other people can do it, I can do it. So don't cry, I told them, but they're still crying. So when 9 o'clock come, I look down to that floor, there's a pile of clothes there. When the pile of clothes was there, I have no clue why. So I came down and I asked those people, and many of them become naked because they take their clothes off and pile it up. And they say, you sleep on that pile of clothes. You don't deserve sleep on that dirty floor like us. And I say, no, I'm deserved just as much as you do because I'm an inmate. But they don't agree with me. So one of the guys said, I need to ask you a question. I say, well, ask me a question. And they said, you know, tell me the truth. Are you angel or human? And another guy who's naked, take the clothes off and pile it for me to sleep on, say the same thing, ask the same question, but it's a little louder and a little meaner voice. So you need to tell me the truth. Don't lie. Are you angel or human? I say, why you ask that question? They say, because when the authority pulled you in this prison cell, we did not see you naked, but you were covered with like flashlight all over your body, and the only thing we recognized was your face as human. Everything else was covered with those light, like glory. I didn't see that, but they saw that. They said, typically all of us coming into this room naked, but you was not naked. And I knew I was naked, but they said they didn't see it. I said, so you must not human. So God created a situation in such way I can preach about angel. So then I start telling them a simple, I know I have 3 minutes, so I'm going to go fast. All right? So hear what I told them. I say, okay, I'm going to give you the answer, but I want to ask everyone out who's ready to sleep out there. There are 149 inmates, 150 including me, in that room, little room, tiny room. So I say, would you like to hear my answer about angel? And they all set up. They want to hear it. So the whole prison, this is 9 o'clock at night. And I say, you know what? I was born and raised in a very loving family. I have mom, loving dad. They took good care of me. Everything they own, I can use it. Every food they have, I can eat it. If they have a motorcycle, I can ride it. If they have bicycle, I can ride in that. If they have car, I can ride in their car because I'm their son. And you know what? Now I have another loving parent. It's called God. And God of heaven, he owns heaven and earth. God of heaven, the creator of this universe, he declared in his word in, in the Bible, if it's a holy book, it's called the Gospel of John. It says, whoever believe in him, he will give the right to become a child of God. So now, and then because I want so much to become a child of God, I'm a child of my parent, I enjoy it, every minute of it. Now I want to also be a child of God. So I accept the Lord, and then I have the right to become a child of God. So I now have two parents, my earthly parent and heaven parent. And then because of that, in God's kingdom, you know, in Cambodia, they use bodyguard for people who's powerful. There are a lot of bodyguard out there. So the bodyguard called angel, those angel protecting the throne of God. And now that I've become a child of God, so therefore I have every right to use the bodyguard called angel to protect me. It's not because I said it, because I want it, because God wanted it. He wanted to protect his child. So when I come in naked, and you didn't see my naked body, but rather you saw all those flashlights around me, was the angel of God, and they called the guardian angel, who protecting me, and you saw my face the way I am now, because I'm human. So God protecting me. Nobody can touch me. Those five tattoo guys, even you, and they all nod their head. You don't touch me, right? They say, no, we didn't touch you. I say, because of why? Because the angel of God protecting me. So, and then one guy from behind who took his clothes off and piled it for me to sleep on, he said, your teaching is wrong. I say, wrong? Why? He said, we learn from the temple, we learn from our forefather that we ought to serve the angel. You said the angel serving you. I say, well, I can tell you there are two groups of angels. In heaven, God created all of them. He created all of them. They are created beings. But one called the fallen angel because they not put their trust in God, but they want to challenge God. So they want to be God, so God throw them to this world to confuse you and me. And that's why they're the one who act like they are God. They make you serve them. But I'm talking about the angel who are faithful to God and who protecting me. So I was preaching that, and then I asked question. My sermon was short. I said, you know what? I said, you all need to rest, and I need to rest. We all tired. But I'm going to ask everybody in this room. I said, do you want to serve the angel, or you want the angel to serve you? How many of you want to experience what I experienced, to have angel of God protecting you and serving you? Raise your hand. Almost the entire cell, prison cell, raised their hand. So I led them to the Lord that night. So the amount of time I stayed in that prison cell for 10 days, the next 10 days, total 198 prison inmates, and also plus two official came to the Lord. One of them was one-star general. Praise God. So folk, you have to expect the unexpected. And thing doesn't work out the way you and I want. So when you walk in the light, people see the great light. In Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, it says, the people walking in the darkness have seen the great light. On those living in the deep darkness, as the light have dawned. So when you have Jesus, which is the great light in you, people who walk in the darkness, in my case, all other inmates who walk in the darkness, saw the great light in you, which is Jesus. And when they see that, they want to have it too, especially in that kind of situation, in the very bad condition in prison cell in Cambodia. So point number two is that when you walk in the light, people will see the great light, will see Jesus in you based on scripture. And then last but not least, when you know the light, this is very important. You read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. It said, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. That's Paul talking. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So, in conclusion, is that when you know the light, Please don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Please don't be ashamed to give testimony to people. And you never know what's going to happen next. So don't ever say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't have testimony. You're wrong. When you're a Christian, you have testimony. Everybody has testimony. And I give you, I know I'm 4 minutes over about time, but this is important. There's a lady from America. Her husband was a banker. Went to visit the New Development Center. At that time, we have 87 girls who ex-prostitute in the center. And they all have a terrible life. Many of them have HIV, are ready to die. And then when they saw this beautiful lady and husband coming in, got off the car from America, from Oregon to be exact, she's so beautiful. She still is today. And they all look at her just like crazy, all the girls at the center. And they think she have a perfect life. They think she have everything in heaven and on earth. She never had problem. And they all told me that. They all want to touch this beautiful lady. They want to hug this beautiful lady. Some are afraid to touch her because they don't think they're worthy. And then I asked the lady, she's a sister in Christ. I said, sister, can you give testimony of your life to this girl? There are 87 of them. She started crying. She said, sister, I don't have testimony. I said, you follow Jesus? She said, yes, I do. But I don't have testimony. I said, please, I know you have testimony. I have no clue what her testimony is all about. But I said, you have testimony. Why don't you just share just 5 minutes of your testimony? Anything about your life prior, the time before you know Christ and the time after you know Christ. Just say that. Whatever it is. And see, just share. And 87 girls are crying like a baby. All crying still affect them today. Many of them die already. But they all talk about that lady and her testimony. And she's from America. Her husband was a banker. Have everything in the world she want, but she have testimony. And she didn't even know she have testimony. From that time onward, that dear sister always share her testimony. And there's always have impacts on some people's life. So please, when you know the light, when you know Jesus, don't be ashamed of giving testimony. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity to share this morning. Thank you for giving us your word. It's the most powerful weapon that we have, and we need to use it more and more for our life and for the life of others that we have privilege to meet and to walk across paths. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.